Psalm 88, verses 1 and 2. O Yahweh, the God of my salvation, I have cried out by day and throughout the night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to hear my cry of lamentation. This morning, I have a good friend coming to preach for us. I'm about to step off, but I just wanted to introduce him to some of you who might not know him, but if you've been to Impact on any of our Friday night deals, you'd know Brother Tim Sales. So excited for him to preach. Friday nights at Impact, worshiping there, serving the meal is, you know, feels good. It's nice to help people, but the worship service is great, and I would go there often as a campus minister to hear Tim preach, so I'm really glad that you're here. Why don't you come on up? I just want to pray for Tim and introduce you to Tim. He's a minister, if I didn't say it already, Impact Houston Church of Christ, and it's an honor to have him with us this morning. Thanks for coming, Tim.
Yes, sir.
God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit that lives in us and unites us, God. I pray over Tim, Lord. Just pray that you would speak powerfully through him this morning, whatever word you would have to say to us at Westview. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Good morning. It is such a pleasure to be here with you again. I love coming over here. It's always a pleasure to be in your presence. And I am so happy that my good friend Clint called me and said, Tim, I need you to come over and preach. And I said, sure. I love to preach. And if I can get my iPad to act correctly, I love to preach. And whenever a friend calls, you never say no. You never say no to a friend. And Clint is indeed a friend of mine. And we've spent time together in prayer and fellowship. When he was a campus minister over at U of H, I would come over there and he would come to Friday Night Live, like he said, and we just enjoy each other's company immensely. And so this morning, I want to look at a psalm of lament. And this is one of my favorite psalms. It became one of my favorite psalms when I was at ACU, and my preaching professor, he challenged us to preach this psalm, Psalm 88. Unlike many other lament psalms, there isn't a sense of resolution at the end of this psalm. It ends where it ends. There is no resolution. There is no things are going to be okay in the morning. There is no the daylight is coming. No, it ends, and the psalmist and the readers are left hanging. How does this end? Where does God show up, and where does the consolation come from? And so this morning, I want to challenge us from Psalm 88, and I'm going to read all 18 verses. Lord, you are the God who saves me. Day and night I cry out to you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. I'm overwhelmed with troubles, and my life draws near to death. I'm counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like one without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. You have taken from me my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do their spirits rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave? Your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness? Are your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? But I cry to you, Lord, for help. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Why do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth, I have suffered and been close to death. I have borne your terrors and I'm in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me all day long. They surround me like a flood. They have engulfed me completely. You have taken from me friend and neighbor. Darkness is my closest friend. The scriptures tell us that every person who is born is only every few days and full of trouble. Jesus told his disciples, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, because I've overcome the world. The apostles, they instruct and they encourage the congregations to whom they write that as a Christian you will suffer, but if you suffer for the cause of Christ, you're blessed. The psalmist, he ends this psalm with darkness as his closest companion. But I want us to notice something. I want us to notice from the very beginning that the psalmist begins by saying, Yahweh, you are my Elohim, and you are the one who saves me. And I cry out to you. My prayer has come before you. Listen to me. So the psalmist begins, even though he is in despair and his heart is filled with distress and anxiety and pain, he recognizes that if he is going to find relief and release, it is Yahweh who will deliver him. And so when we are in our dark night of the soul, and we all have that dark night, where it seems like the night is extended for a long period of time, we are there. We must recognize that if we're going to be delivered, it is the God of our salvation who will do it. And so the psalmist begins by recognizing who God is, that God is the Savior. And then he begins his lament. He begins his complaint. He begins to pour out his heart and his soul to his God. He says, I'm overwhelmed with troubles. It is too much for me. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. I do not know where to go. I am completely overwhelmed and engulfed with sorrow. So much so that it seems like death is right next door. And it is rapidly approaching me. My life draws near to death. It's like I'm on my way down to the pit. I'm weak. I have no strength. My spirit yearns to be released. My body is feeble. Death is what I see ahead. And he continues his complaint, and he continues his lament, and he tells God that, Lord, it seems as though you have allowed this to happen to me. Why am I enduring such trouble and such heartache? What have I done to deserve this? Even my closest friends have turned their back on me. As a matter of fact, they can't stand the sight of me. It puts me in the mind of Job. When Job was going through his situation, and his friends came to comfort him, but instead of comforting him, they caused him more distress. And they said, Job, what are you talking about? You did something to cause this calamity to befall you. Job, you are guilty. And Job says, man, I've done nothing to deserve this. God, I don't know why you are putting me through to this test. As a matter of fact, I've taken nothing from no one. In fact, I made a covenant with my eyes that I would not look at a girl or a woman lustfully. God, my hands are clean before you. Why? Why? Why am I in this distress? Your wrath, it lies heavily upon me. But notice verse number 9. He says, my eyes are dim with grief. I call to you. Lord, every day I spread out my hands to you. What is the psalmist doing? In the midst of his pain and sorrow and suffering, he still remembers to pray and to worship. Because of his struggles and his pain, he does not let that take him from the place of worship. When we're hurting, it's easy to decide that today is the day where I'm not going to worship. Today is the day where if God was truly God, if he really had my back, then I wouldn't be going through this, therefore I will not worship. But the psalmist, even when life hurts, he keeps talking to God. My friends, even when life is difficult, do not stop talking to God, because he is the source of your strength and your salvation. He's suffering deeply, yet he still prays. His circumstances have changed for the worse, but his view of who God is remains the same. You see, if God is your salvation when things are going well, he is still your salvation when things are going difficult. He's still the same. A hurting believer still knows where to turn. When life comes crashing down on us, that is not the time to abandon and to forsake the one in whom we've put our trust. That is the time to bear down and to lean into the Father. He pours out his soul, full of trouble, near death, alone and isolated, overwhelmed, afflicted and abandoned. And he lets God know about it. As a matter of fact, he says, God, you're the one who allowed this to happen to me. I want you to notice something. God can handle your honest prayer. When you're hurting, when you're feeling overwhelmed, God can handle your honest prayers. God, I don't like this. This is difficult. Where are you? My body is racked with pain. My children have lost their minds. God, where are you? My finances are not right. I'm close to eviction. My marriage is not what it should be. God, where are you? You said that you would never leave me. But I don't see your hands anywhere. But still, I cry out to you. God can handle your honesty. Even in the midst of bitter pain, heartache, and frustration. You see, this is a wounded faith, but it is faith nonetheless. This wounded faith is not polished religion. You see, polished religion tells you you have to stand tall and you have to put on a fake smile and you have to make everything appear to be okay when it's not. No, wounded faith cries out and it says, God, I'm hurting right now. I need some deliverance. This doesn't feel well. I'm in pain right now, God. Where are you? That's wounded faith. But guess what? It's still faith. God doesn't want your fake smiles. He wants your real, whatever that looks like. Whether it's faith in pain, faith in heartache, faith when you're overwhelmed with life, God wants your real. He doesn't want the fake. Notice verse number 10. He continues, do the dead praise you? Do they rise up? Why are you hiding your face from me, Lord? Why am I suffering right now? Growing up, I thought that I used to hear it all the time. You can't question God. God knows what he's doing. Don't question God. I believe God invites our questioning. Because questioning is not the same thing as unbelief. It's not the same. I'm questioning because I'm looking for answers. I'm not questioning because I don't believe in God. When he asks his questions, do you show your wonders to the dead? Do their spirits rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness, your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? He is still showing his faith in God because he directs every question to God. God's silence has not stopped his prayers. Delay has not destroyed his devotion to God. You see, a lot of times I want God to hear me and answer me right now, and when he delays, that causes me anxiety and frustration. But God's delay must not destroy my devotion, because God knows what he's doing. He knows that sometimes I need to be brought under the hand of discipline. Oh, yes. I've been there. But God had to discipline me harshly. It wasn't fun. And sometimes God allows us to go through things not for our discipline, but to show his glory. When your answers don't come, you keep bringing your questions and your prayers and your faith to God. The one who still asks God has not abandoned God. If you can still talk to him, if you can still ask him, believe in him, you have not abandoned him, and he will not abandon you. Notice verse number 13. Again, the psalmist says, "But I cry out to you for help, Lord." Notice, in the morning, my prayer comes before you. He is daily in prayer, daily searching, daily seeking, daily worshiping God, even in the midst of turmoil and frustration. He still seeks and runs and chases after God, because just like he said in the beginning, if I'm going to be saved, it is God who will deliver me. And then he concludes in verse number 18. After the worship, after the prayers, after the complaints, after telling God all about his pain, he concludes, "You have taken from me my friend and neighbor, the darkness is my closest friend." There is no dramatic ending. There are no sudden breakthroughs. Yet, in prayer, he closes this psalm. The man still has enough faith to pray and to seek God even in the darkest of times. He tells God, "The darkness is my ever-present companion. I don't know when the light of morning will arrive. All I know is that right now I am living in the darkness, and it is my constant companion." However, the darkness does not win, because he's still praying. As long as you keep praying, the darkness does not win. As long as you keep searching and seeking for God and worshiping him, the darkness will not overcome you. Yes, there's no resolution to this song. And sometimes we have to live in that place and trust God in that place where there is no resolution. The diagnosis does not improve. The wayward child does not come back. The marriage is not rescued. and we live there in that place, trusting God that in his time, in his perfect time, he will make all things right. But sometimes we have to trust God even when we can't trace him. Even when I cannot see his hand and how he's moving, I stay right there in that place of trust. May God bless us. Let's pray. Holy Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for your mercy. Even in the darkness, dear God, when pain overwhelms, when heartache descends like a flood, we trust you. You are our God. You are our Savior. And there is no other besides you. When we're hurt, when we're lonely, when we're heartbroken, Father, we turn to you. In that place of hurt, of darkness, we rest in your grace and your favor. We thank you for this psalm and for the example of faithfulness in the midst of trial, of dependence in the face of adversity, devotion in the face of adverse circumstances. It teaches us to worship, to pray, and to depend on you. We thank you. We bless you in Christ's name. Amen. If there's anyone that needs prayer, as we get ready to sing the song of invitation, we're going to ask you to come. If there's anyone who would like to rededicate your life to the Father, we're going to give you that opportunity as well. Let's together stand and sing.